Hello, I'm Raphael Lyne, and I'm a lecturer in the English faculty and one of the people involved in the Cambridge Authors Project. And I was also one of the people who asked Jeremy Hardingham to put together something relating to Dr. Faustus. And on this page, you'll already have seen his film, Glutted of This. And it seemed to me so thought-provoking that I've invited Jeremy to talk to me a bit about it, so we can hear more about how it came to be. So I want to ask Jeremy first to tell us a bit about himself, because he is the manager of the drama studio here in the faculty, but also has many other interests outside that in performance and theatre and film too. So the first thing I want to ask Jeremy is just to talk about the range of things you're involved in and interested in.
Okay, thank you. I suppose I would characterise myself as a theatre maker, which incorporates all sorts of different theatre disciplines. And my principal interest is in live performance, which I do myself, as also write it and direct it. And I've also worked previously as a technician, production manager and designer. And my approach to live performance is in attending to all of the various and different elements which bring together a theatre performance. I haven't really done any work on film before this, and so it is in some respects a new departure, and it sort of bears quite a lot of relation to what I'm more familiar with, which is as I say, live performance.
Thank you. And I want to come back later to talk a bit about Glutted of This as a piece of theatre and a piece of performance and a piece of film. But could you, before I do that, just tell us a bit about Ollie Evans, who is the other performer on the piece people would have seen?
Well, Ollie Evans was some years ago a student here and worked, as many students do, in the studio, both in support of his studies and in his degree, but also just on his own work. I mean, the studio is a facility which allows students to develop work. It's particularly a space which is good for experimental or exploratory work, and work which might not quite know yet what it is. And he's consistently been a very committed performer and artist who is very interested in mime and in clowning and in puppets, and unusually also in the relation of those forms to text and to literature. And he's currently working professionally, I believe, largely in London, as well as undergoing various bits of training and things like that, and also is making his own films largely with puppets at the moment. Yeah.
So Glutted of This, which is something people will probably have seen already, is a very thought-provoking piece, and I want to ask you a bit about how you'd identify it. Really, you've already said that you're a theatre maker and that you're breaking down some of the boundaries there between the director and the actor and the producer and the designer and incorporating those roles. But it's also in other ways a film. But I suppose I'm fumbling really to define it, and that's one of the special things about it, that people might not readily put it into a pigeonhole or categorise it as being a play or a piece of performance art or a film. And I just wonder how you'd define it and explain it.
It begins with the text of Dr. Faustus, although the final film that you see doesn't retain very many obvious elements of that. Ollie and I had been working together on a couple of projects and assisting one another on our own theatre projects, and wanted to make this film together and thought that we would be good people to work together. So we just decided to go into the studio with various materials and set ourselves certain limits and perform within those limits. The first thing that we did was both to read the play Dr. Faustus again, and we read some other versions of the Faust story. And since there were only two of us, and since it is a very much populated piece of work, we decided to concentrate, I suppose, specifically upon a dynamic between a Mephistopheles figure and a Faustus figure, and the kind of contract and interrelation as that is played out within Marlowe's play. We built a set within the studio, and we spent several days in the studio, and we decided to use a camera which was just still and to perform in front of it, and not really to stop and start, but to sort of go for extended periods of time on particular sequences. We worked both together and then, as you see, sort of separately, so that one of us was watching and the other was performing, with those materials, which I suppose just came out of a kind of ambient and evoked sense of things that we thought it might be interesting to have in the room with us. And again, that was kind of inspired by reading the play. I hesitate to say that it was directly inspired by the play, but it was inspired by our reading of the play and other associations we might have thought about. So that broadly was the sort of rules that we went into the studio with, and then we sort of committed ourselves to various exercises which we then filmed, and what you see is a distillation. And obviously an edited version of what amounted to approximately 3 hours of footage altogether.
I want to ask in a minute about all the separate parts of the of Glutted of this, but I'd just like to ask a bit more about the relationship of the of this film to the text, because your title has its origins in the text, and I wonder if there were some lines or some particular moments in the play that were in your minds as you were acting certain parts of it, or was it more an interpretation that of things that are distilled out of the whole play?
In a sense, I mean, there were the words glutted of this come from early on in the play, and I suppose, though, the guiding principle was more to do with sort of structural, and more to do with this figure alone in his study, and at the end of his learning, in a sense, and kind of wanting something more, which I think is still sort of remains within that title, Glutted of This. I suppose there was also a particular resonance in that phrase for me with film generally, and what film is in relation to this text is perhaps quite an awkward relation, because obviously this is a text to be performed live. It's a play text. I'm not sure I've quite answered the question, but I think in a way that the strongest elements which we strove to maintain were structural and kind of dynamic of between Mephistopheles and Faustus, and in a sense we weren't hugely attentive to the forms of words or the ways in which dialogues happened. This was something which we sort of engaged with but didn't really end up in the final material of what we were working with. Although, however, I should say that what you see here is in a sense our beginning approach to working on a project which will, I think, be a slightly longer film, which will be filmed in various different locations, and again will concentrate upon this Mephistopheles Faustus dynamic, but which also may have more inclusion of actual text from Marlowe.
I think you've fixed on something very important in the play by talking about how populated it is, how there are lots of characters, and there are friends, and there are enemies, and there are strangers and devils, but that the solitary figure of Faustus in his study and on his own at the end of the play is a very important motif, and also the intimate duo of him and Mephistopheles too. Several of the dominant images in Glutted of this are individuals, are very solitary figures. But it starts and ends with the two of you, with you and Ollie, doing lots of different things. It's a very glutted kind of scene, I think, with lots of different objects, as you said, that you gathered around you and interacted with. And I wonder, could you just tell us a little bit about those, the opening and closing sections, which are have the two of you exploring the scenery you've made, in effect?
Yeah, I mean, the the opening sequence is then actually elements of that become repeated in the more sort of speeded up version, which you see at the end, which is speeded up in a way because both of us are quite interested in sort of early film, which was more or less accidentally faster than film works now. But this sort of capacity with film to speed things up or slow things down is something which is a very obvious but interesting feature of film as compared to live performance. I suppose for Ollie and I, both of the ways in which we work is very much to do with a kind of live play with materials that are there, and an attempt to create something in front of an audience, in this case in front of a camera, as it happens, without necessarily really rehearsing that. We prepare this material, we attend to it, and we spend some time with it. Mephistopheles and Faustus are both interestingly and differently confined and limited and bound in some respect. And in those sequences, although we are together, there's one of the principles and rules of the performance that we undertook was that we wouldn't necessarily be acknowledging one another's existence. There wouldn't be any sort of explicit dialogue between one another, except at certain points, and each of us brought our own materials, and then there were areas within that which where our materials kind of combined and coalesced together. And one of the principles was that if one of us found ourselves in an area where both of our materials coexisted, at that point then we were able to in some respects sort of address one another. And I mean, in a sense, of all of the film that we had, the longest sequences were sort of came out of, I guess, sort of about 2 hour long exercises where we just ran the camera and just literally played for about 2 hours with this material, and also with music and also with other texts, including Dr. Faustus, but also various other texts as well. And then we had sort of lists of rules and capacities for making decisions within that. So again, I don't know that I've quite answered the question, but it's to see what this piece of material does. And I think that's, I suppose, something which we're both interested in Ollie particularly, in his use of puppets, is how something inanimate can come to life. And I suppose we're thinking in terms of Dr. Faustus also of these fantastic creatures beyond life, and how those might be really evoked.
I think you've really helpfully set out how something like this comes to be, and that you're right, that in explaining the rules by which something spontaneous in some ways mapped out, but in other ways tending towards unpredictability, it's a very interesting way of responding to, you know, a well-known play like Dr. Faustus, to let it set some conditions and then react to those. The result, or one of the things that comes out of all this, are these what seem to me very moving individual segments of the film, and you've already started to talk about Ollie and his puppet, which I'd like to ask about now. There's this very powerful section where Ollie's little white humanoid puppet reads a book. I mean, I I think it, in a way it's movingly self-explanatory, but I wonder if there's anything you could you know, say in explanation or elaboration of that part of it.
I think, I mean, it's one of the very interesting aspects of animation and of puppetry, I suppose, which is that it's what the viewer sees, and often a puppeteer will absent themselves and be completely in the dark, and in a sense that will, although you might know that there is a human agency behind this inanimate object, sort of making it live and seeming to evoke very human gestures, Ollie's decision, I think, is to kind of involve himself with his puppet in a way which means that you see that it is his feet and his hands which are actually sort of operating this. And I think that that can evoke some interesting questions about agency and consent, which are not only, I suppose, within the fictional structure of Marlowe's play, as they are in many plays, but also just within the whole dynamics of making theatre or film anyway. There is obviously somebody who is making somebody or something else do something, and yet it appears that perhaps the puppet starts to live on its own and is also making some kinds of constraint upon its own operator in some respects, and I think that's also an element of in both of our work, which is that although we decide to play in this particular way, we also often surround ourselves with things which make it more complicated for us to be able to do things, or certain kinds of elements of restraint or constraint, so that the liveness of that performance is also to do with somebody attempting to do somebody something, and then, but that somehow being sort of diverted or constrained. And I think that's where in Ollie's case as well, that it's a sort of directed at an interest in thinking about how much this object can actually live and how much it can change its face or change its the meaning of its existence. And sometimes a balloon is a balloon and sometimes a balloon is a lung, or, you know, and this puppet is clearly a humanoid figure, although maybe slightly demonic as well. But there are these sort of fleeting absent presences and things that I think he's interested in working with.
Well, I thought as I watched it that it could be such a simple metaphor, you know, an actor as a puppet, or a human being as a puppet for supernatural forces, or as these devils as puppets under Faustus' control. But when you actually look hard at the puppet, it's not a simple thing at all. The metaphor comes to life as a rather strange and troubling thing. There's another a metaphor brought to life in your light bulb sequence, where this is you rather than Ollie this time, contemplating this light bulb and seeming to want to touch it, to eat it, to take part, to partake of it somehow. Another one that, you know, a fascinating section, I thought. Can you say anything more about that? I mean, as with the previous one, it stands on its own, but I'm keen to hear more about how it came about.
Well, in relation to Dr. Faustus, it's this contract with the devil, selling your soul, and that kind of aspect of things. And something which is, I think, always there in terms of a performance, if the consciousness of both live performance and also film, is this, this sort of narcissistic impulse. And I think it needs to be something which somebody is sort of constantly vigilant about. And one of the things that's kind of just very basically compelling, I suppose, about film is light, and is light and its relation to the human figure, the human face, and what kinds of meanings that can convey are, I think, more complicated and at some level also, I guess, more simple than we might sort of easily admit. And so that sequence is, I suppose, it's a film of a figure watching a film and listening to a film, and at the same time contemplating light and contemplating what it might mean to mean something, or what again it's about what is this object. It's also about this just is this object, so it doesn't pretend really that this object is anything else, but it's kind of thinking about what else it might be. So yeah, it's again, it's a sort of rather peculiar sequence of trying to sort of capture on film what it is to think. A lot of Marlowe's verse is in a sense to do with dialogue, but then also is about somebody thinking aloud, as Shakespeare often is as well. And it's a sense of seeing whether or not that activity can take a different form in some respects.
And it's striking, I think, it's really coming home to me how you're emphasising how in your performance arising from Dr. Faustus, you're letting the play, letting the text reflect back on performance itself and think about, you know, light and bodies and movement and things, about how they are not simple things, and they, you know, they can be thought-provoking in themselves and not just vehicles to tell a story. The last thing I have a chance to I can talk to you about, I think, given the time, is one more section of Glutted of This, which is the one I think of as you on a cross, which is I mean that I don't want it's definitely you in a plank, but for me I think of images of crucifixion coming through. I mean, and I you'll probably allow me to do that, even if that isn't what was behind it. But perhaps you could, you know, give your take on what's behind, or what you think has arisen from this kind of a strange head and plank combination.
Again, it's a sort of I suppose it's like a sort of contemplation of a figure. I mean, it's interesting that you might think of paintings, I suppose, because one of the things I suppose that's that sequence is interested in is I don't know the exact name about it, but something Brecht actually mentions at various points, which is to do with gesture, and to do with the capacity to make a gesture, and he writes about that in relation to painting, and in that in certain paintings you can see where the arm, for instance, once was, which has now been painted over, and the kind of ghost of a gesture that the gesture that finally makes it into the painting, the arm pointing or the hand raised, has perhaps arisen through various other gestures which have been blanked out. And so this is an attempt to try to sort of do that in you know a filmed sequence, or to contemplate that, not to do it exactly. So again, I suppose it's this element of time. And I mean, one of the peculiar things about Marlowe's Dr. Faustus is the great length of time and how quickly it passes, and the selling of the soul and the contract then seeming to just go by in a blink. And it's really sort of about what the form of film and of performance can evoke about that, because you can have a maybe sort of 2-minute sequence which is in some sense trying to connect with the passage of years in some respects. It's also, again, I suppose there's the wrapping and the just these materials and what they are and what they do.
well, thank you very much, Jeremy. And I think these things, it's a very rich piece of work which will provoke lots of questions, and you know, and I'm sure that's one of the many things it's designed to do. So thank you very much.
Thank you.